Good morning. If I was to say to you, that's the words of a song, isn't it? If I was to say to you the word smell, what would come to mind? Throw out a couple of suggestions. No, Steve, you can't say Helen. Go on, smell. Food, bacon, perfume. All right. None of the words that I was thinking of. But, yes, those are the sort of things that come to mind when you think of the word smell. But to me, smell conjures up memories. Yes? And always memories of my childhood. And two specific smells does that. One, you're going to laugh at this. I love the smell of old houses. Not dirty old houses, but the smell of old plaster and moisture, yeah. And it brings back memories of childhood when myself and my friends would go, I don't recommend this to any children, if there's any children in, playing in old houses. And the other one, which is so powerful, is when I was a child, I looked forward to the month of November. One, because it was my birthday, and two, for a full week, my mum would go through a yearly ritual of baking Christmas cakes. And it went on for a week. And she would get out the pile of tins, and I'm talking about the old Quality Street tins, not the little doodahs of today, but the big mini size wheel cake tins. And she'd bake anything up to 15 Christmas cakes. She baked them for friends, family, you name it, she'd bake it. And for a week, we would go to bed, we would wake up to the smell of Christmas cake baking. And I can almost smell it now. And whenever I smell Christmas cake or eat a slice of Christmas cake, I have those memories. But, getting on from that, sorry John. What I want to speak about today is those that love the Lord Jesus Christ have a wonderful smell about them. Do you believe that? Don't go smelling somebody, the person next to his armpit or anything like that. But believe me, you have a wonderful smell about you. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. And I've headed my sermon as Authentic Christianity is Following the Leader. And I quote the word authentic. And you'll see why at the end. But we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians. We looked at 3 last week, but we're going back to chapter 2. And I'm going to read from 14 to the end. And I'm reading from the NIV. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, In Christ we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. So, that's the Apostle Paul speaking. The good news is that all around the world today are spirit-filled congregations that are sending out this aroma of Christ. And it is a rich bouquet of the fruits of the Spirit. And I believe in verse 14 there, the Apostle Paul illustrates the main theme of his letter to the Corinthians. And in spite of his setbacks and difficulties in life, Paul often burst forth with praise because of the triumph of what Christ brought about. And it's the sweet fragrance of God. And I believe that when Paul wrote this, he had a picture of the Roman triumphal entry into the city of Rome. Now, being a Roman citizen, I'm sure that throughout his life he would have seen one or two triumphal entries of the Roman armies coming into Rome. But let's just look at the picture. The picture is the triumphal entry of a military hero into the city of Rome. First, we would have the victorious in a triumph procession, the victorious generals marched in a certain order. And first, at the front of the procession would be the city magistrates, the state officials, and they would have been followed by the Roman Senate. Then would come the trumpeters. The soldiers would come next, carrying their spoils of war. And then they would come with models and pictures of the conquered citadels for all to see. Then they would be followed by the white bull, which would be for the sacrifice. After the bull would be the rulers that had been conquered, their leaders, their captured generals, all in chains, and they would be executed before the end of the day. Following them would be the musicians and the priests, waving their censers filled with exotic spices. And all around the defeated conquered generals would have been this fragrant smell. But to them, it would be the smell of death, because they knew what was going to happen. But to the victorious armies, it would be a sweet, fragrant smell of victory. At the end of the procession would come the conquering general, and he would be riding in a chariot pulled by four white horses, and behind them would be the family, the conquering general's family and his army. And they would be all displayed, you know, dressed in their splendour, and they would be shouting, "Lo triumphe, lo triumphe." And that's what Paul is trying to say. That we have one, Jesus Christ, who is the conquering King. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And we are His family. We are His army. And as we parade behind Him, following in the wake of Jesus, the conquering King, we are giving off the fragrance of Christ. What a wonderful picture that is. The fragrance of Christ. Those who march along in the procession of Christ are releasing everywhere they go the sweet fragrance of the knowledge of Him. That's what we're smelling. That's what we're smelling of. The knowledge of Christ. Romans 5:10 tells us, we who were God's former enemies have been conquered by the sovereign saving grace of God. Ephesians 2:5 says, and we were taken captive by Him, and as His bond slaves are led and displayed by Him before a watching world. And that is so true. The world is watching. My question today is, what are you wearing? Are you wearing my sin or my Saviour? Because you are being watched. Moffat translates verse 14 as this: wherever I go, thank God, He makes my life a constant pageant of triumph in Christ. We are trophies of the victorious grace of God. How does that make you feel? That you are a trophy? I love it. I love to be known as a trophy of the King. Of the King of Kings. And He can put me on display as long as He wants. And I'm proud of that. Some might say, I don't like the idea of being a trophy. But if it's to portray my love for the King, then it's fine by me. But, and there's always a but, we triumph only when we abide in Him. That's the but. If we are not abiding in Him, then unfortunately the fragrance isn't the fragrance of Christ that the world smells or sees. Authentic Christianity, and I use that word again, authentic, is always released in a fragrance that is pleasing to God. And we can only be pleasing to God if we abide in Christ. All of Paul's success is able to be traced back to his walk with Jesus. Paul says himself that he was, before his Damascus Road experience, Paul himself states that he was a Pharisee. In fact, he says that he was the Pharisee of Pharisees. I can quite honestly say that to believers in Christ at the time, before his experience, Paul could well have been the scent or the smell of death. But not after his meeting with the Lord. His life was changed around, as ours. After we gave our lives to the Saviour, our lives were turned upside down. I know mine was. All of the things that I was so used to doing, being able to do, had to stop. Lots of things. Lots of people that I associated with, I had to stop associating with them because they didn't see the way I saw. And I wonder what they would think of me now. Would they see a difference in me? I'm sure they would. I hope and pray they do. Why? Because after we have that revelation of who Jesus Christ is, how can we be the same? We can't. The more time we spend with Jesus Christ, the more we will become like him. We cannot help but change. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Once we give him the permission to have access to all of our life, to change what he needs to change, we cannot help but change. Why? Because we are a sweet smell of Christ. We are pleasing to God. And that is what people ought to be seeing. Why? Because we spend time with Jesus, we change. We should become different. We should become more like him. And ultimately, we should be able to think like him. Why? Because we are in Christ. Paul was in Christ. And look what Paul had to go through. Look what he suffered for the sake of Jesus. And I'm quite sure that if he was in this room, he would say he would go through it again for the sake of Jesus Christ. The New Testament teaches the priesthood of every believer. Every Christian, each one of you, are a representative of Christ. Like it or not, that's what you are. We are his priests. And as we abide in Christ, we spread the sweet fragrance of his gospel. That's where the fragrance comes from. It's the knowledge of Jesus Christ in us. And as we go out into the workplace, into the schoolyard, into our homes, our family homes, we are his representatives. And if, as long as we are abiding in him, we are able to share the knowledge that we have of Jesus Christ with those that don't know him. And that's what makes the difference. People out in the world should be saying, "What's that I smell about you?" It's not sweat. It's something else. What is it that you've got? I want that. Is that what people are seeing in your lives? Is that what people are seeing in my life? I'd like to believe that it is. Also, if we are abiding in Christ, the Holy Spirit will give us opportunities to be able to say to people, well, what you're seeing, what you're smelling, is Christ in me. And that's the hope of glory. You are their hope of glory. You can bring somebody to the kingdom of God by the way you live. I'm not saying that every time we go into the schoolyard or you go into your parents' house and they may not be Christians, that you go in with all guns blazing or, you know, you jump in with your jack boots. That's not what it's about. If that's what you think Jesus is saying to you, then you're not hearing his voice. I've tried it and it doesn't work. I remember somebody saying to me that every house you go into, you have an opportunity to speak about Jesus. And I used to come away feeling a little bit guilty if I didn't get Jesus in. I probably turned more people away from Christianity than I brought. So now, because I hope I'm in tune with the Holy Spirit, I can pray, Lord, if you have something for me to say to this person, give me the prompting. And I just want to quickly share with you. I had an experience not so long ago. I went into this lady's house. I was putting my sheets down on the floor, and the lady was sat in a chair. I'd only been there 2 minutes, and she burst into tears. And I thought, ooh, what have I said? I hadn't said anything, I only said good morning. And this woman burst into tears. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. So I didn't know what to do. I'm totally embarrassed. And I'm coming in and out and I'm bringing my stuff and I'm thinking, Lord, should I be here this day or what? And I went back to my van and I prayed to the Lord to reveal to me what was troubling this woman and should I say something. And anyway, she turned around, she came back into the room and she apologised. And this particular day was the anniversary of her husband's death. And she said, I don't know why, but she said, I just felt so overwhelmed and started to cry. So I said to her, look, I said, if it's inconvenient, I can come back another day. If today's not the day, just tell me and I'll leave and I'll arrange another day to come back. And she said, no, carry on, please carry on. So I carried on and I kept thinking, do I say something here? And as the morning was progressing, it so turned out I couldn't do the job that day. For some other reason, I couldn't do the job that day. So I was going to have to come back anyway. So I started to take my stuff back out. And I really felt I wanted to say something to this woman. And I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, give me a word of advice. And I went back in. And I said to her, if you don't mind me asking, do you believe in God? And she said, yes, I do. And I said, would you allow me to pray with you? And she said, I'd love that. And I was able to sit down with this woman, pray with her, and a smile came to her face. And I truly believed, and I was studying for this sermon at the time, and that spoke volumes to me. That day I was the fragrance of Christ. And God will give each one of us opportunities like that. I came out of that house so blessed. And before I got back to the shop, this lady had phoned the shop. And she said, could you please make sure that it's that gentleman that comes back to fit my fire? And, do you know, it was felt I was floating on air. What that does to you, just being the fragrance of Christ for a minute, is overwhelming. Wonderful. Nothing like it. Unfortunately, not everyone will receive it like that. For those who reject Jesus, we are the stench of death. But nevertheless, we still have the duty to be the fragrance of Christ, or at least try to be. You know, we can go into a situation that we don't know what we're going into, and we may, you know, start to talk about our faith in Christ. And I'm sure we have all had it at some time or other where you'll get the barriers go up. Don't talk to me about religion. I don't want to know about God. We've all had it. I've had it. Don't you come in here talking to me about God, if there's a God, and you know the spiel. And to those types of people who don't want to know, we are the stench of death. But to those who are open to the gospel, we are the smell of eternal life. It's not up to us to choose which we are. That's up to the Lord. But nevertheless, we have to try. To the unregenerate, the death of Christ is like a deadly, noxious fume that has a killing effect on them. But to the believer in Christ, it is the fragrance that gives eternal life. Who is adequate for such a ministry? None of us, without the influence of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it in our own strength. And that's where it comes back to abiding in Christ. He is the source. Jesus is the source that we must continually go back to. He will give us the opportunities. He will give us the words to say. He will tell us and show us how to live our lives. I have lost what I'm supposed to be saying. Oh yes, my train of thought. Paul, I think it's in the last verse, it says, "And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit." Now it's unfortunate, but the reason I was using the word authentic Christianity. Do you think for 1 minute that Paul, when he was preaching the gospel, would mix in Judaism or Greek philosophy into the preaching of the gospel? No. Unfortunately today, Christianity has been watered down. We have what some choose to call the marketplace Christianity that's been influenced by the media, by churches, by vicars, by preachers. If we are honest with ourselves, how many of us would go into the workplace or the family home and speak to a non-believer and preach the gospel to them, but also tell them the complete truth. What will happen if they choose not to accept? We don't like to speak about the devil. We don't like to say to friends or work colleagues that if you refuse to accept Christ as your personal saviour, you will go to hell. So we don't like to do that. Why? Because we don't want to offend. So what do? We water down the gospel. Paul would never have dreamt of doing that. Paul would say it as it is. Why? Because God gave him a mission and he was obedient to God. We need to ask ourselves, what perfume am I wearing today? What fragrance am I releasing? Am I releasing the fragrance of Christ, or am I releasing a knockoff version that I bought off the market? That's been watered down, that isn't the real McCoy. And we need to ask ourselves, we need to question, what odour are we giving off? And I know that I need to do that. And I pray that I will spread authentic Christianity rather than the watered down version. Not all of the world at this moment in time smells the fragrance of Christ. But the fragrance is getting there. And one day when every nation, every corner of the world hears the good news of Christ, he will be returning. And I hope and pray that when he looks at us as a church, he will see that we are spreading authentic Christianity and not a compromised version. Paul had a mission. So do we. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the privilege of being known as one of yours. That I am a trophy of the conquering King. And I pray, Lord, that you will show us areas of our life that we need to change in. And I pray, Lord, that we will give you the authority to come in to our hearts and change what needs to be changed. Give us, Lord, I pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit, the longing to speak authentic Christianity. Help us, Lord, to give off the true fragrance of Christ, not a watered-down version. Lord, I, for one, don't want to be a compromiser anymore. I don't want to compromise the gospel. And I'm sure my brothers and sisters here don't want that either. Help us to preach Christ crucified to a hurting world. Lord, the world needs Jesus. We need Jesus. And we pray again today, Lord, that you will come and fill our hearts. As John prayed earlier, Lord, come and stir up the flame. It might only be a pilot light size, but it's a flame nonetheless. But we don't want it to remain as a pilot light, Lord. We want to ignite the burner. Come and set the burner on fire, Lord, I pray. And help us to reach a hurting world. But we can only do it through you, Lord. We need you. Help us to abide in you, Jesus. Hallelujah, what a Saviour. Amen. Thank you for listening, guys and gals. Tea and coffee will be coming through. Probably no cake. God bless you all.